this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but we have caught nothing. But if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid from now on. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, beloved. It is a strange month we're having with school closures and snow, and some of us have seen each other on odd weeks, and today, some of us, 2 weeks. The first week, snow kept some of us away, and I just wanted to thank everyone. Last Sunday, I was able to be away in Massachusetts with my sister's family and their health crisis, and Leo and I were able to bring some help and cheer. So some of these weeks are passing, and I was tempted to use the mobile mic today and have us come up close for a smaller crew, but that microphone isn't working so well. So flag me down if you need a louder mic today. We're working these out. But the snow that the snow apocalypse for Seattle left me just kind of staggering in wonder and joking with everyone in a Costco line, because one time I found that one man had bought out all the rock salt left in the southern Seattle region, and Mike started to hit the east side as he was at a meeting, and we found that entire King County had been hit by this man who decided he was going to do a racket and sell the rock salt all on his street corner, because even the Costco worker looked at me and just said, "How did they let him leave with all those flats of the rock salt?" And we had no shortage of chances to chuckle in these times when our city, that is not meant to be prepared for great amounts of snow, is trying to deal. So it was refreshing to be in Massachusetts, where they know about snow and they know how to do snow. The guy who bought up the rock salt really made me wonder, but it got me thinking about another story. There's a man who sort of made good on a really, really tricky situation in a way that I think is interesting as we start to go into this incredible story that Joe has offered us from our Gospel of Luke this morning. There's an ad, a viral video, if you want to look it up, for panda planner. This is something that promises to offer us a way to reclaim our happiness. And I'm going to rag on it a little bit because it's going to sound a bit like snake oil, but I'm also going to champion it. So if any of you do look it up, be sure to let me know, because I've been using a panda planner and loving it. A loved one gifted it to me, and I find it to be an incredible tool. But they have not asked me to advertise for them, so maybe we'll get a cut if any of you do look it up. So the panda planner offers us scientific tools to empower us to take back control of our lives, to flourish in every way. It says, the countless demands of modern life are overwhelming. If you feel exhausted, trying to keep up, disorganized or unable to focus, or disconnected from the people and things that really matter, you're not alone. Life isn't meant to be lived this way. Life should be lived vibrantly. You deserve to thrive. So my skeptic received this gift and thought, what are they trying to say? But on this pandaplanner.com website, you'll see that this is actually a tool that was born out of necessity. The founder, Michael Leap, the creator of Panda Planner, unfortunately was totally overwhelmed by the symptoms of Lyme disease. And on top of that, traumatic brain injury and cancer. So the kind of situation plenty of us are well aware of, the compounding challenges, one on top of the other. And he turned to the positive psychology, the proven research in neuroscience, and decided to create this system to get his life back on track. He, surprisingly, his mode of advertising is to tell everyone about probably his darkest night, his bottom out, where he could barely walk in the woods behind his house with his dog, normally his favorite thing to do, because the bone disease working on him and the depression working on him and all these layers compounding. So he decided he was going to design something to help get back on track, among many other approaches. Many of us use coaches and therapists and family support and couples counselors. Many of us have so many things that we need in this modern condition to keep us well. Well, he designed this book where, for me, it's the thing I turn to in those precious morning moments when I have my scripture and my precious cup of coffee, and those moments before the whole house is waking up, and fill in these sections. He says, I'm grateful for, and there's lines, 1, 2, 3, and there's a focus line, and I'm excited about, 1, 2, 3, and we push ourselves to write in the answers. Here's exercise, an affirmation, a daily habit, today's priorities. And yes, there's a place for the schedule and the tasks of the day, but by the end of the day, there's an area to review the day's wins and notes and how I'll improve. And all of this, Michael Leap is saying, as he got out from the bottoming out of his life, he found a focus and shared it with the world. And now this planner is the best-selling planner, and it is 250,000 people who are in his movement using it with positivity. But something about that exercise, our practices, right? So there we have it. There are responses to challenge. One might be to hoard rock salt and make a racket on your street corner. And one might be out of your own struggle to find something life-giving to share with others. The Gospel of Luke is offering us one of the most famous calling stories, discipleship stories today in our tradition. It's the moment where Jesus has been teaching solo, alone, healing and teaching, And it's the shift point where he's beginning to gather a band of followers to move ahead. We ourselves are prone to hunker in to the familiar and the routine. Of course, we have our own ears a bit clogged and covered. And sometimes along comes a miracle story. And we have our right impulses to turn up our scientific analysis and turn up our critical eye. But we have also another invitation today, because we have our most fashionable approach to shred any miracle story to pieces. But we also have an invitation. We have an invitation to allow a miracle story to be a jolt for ourselves, to consider how our encroached days, how we might slightly shift ourselves from our slumber to see what on earth could have caused some fishermen to do such a radical 180 turn, to leave work they knew, to shift the center of their gravity, to become workers after Jesus, to share news that God is big, that God is as abundant as a boatload of fish. In fact, two boatloads of fish. God is as unthinkable as going from a night of zero catch to a boat so full it is about to capsize. We often are good at proclaiming how open and affirming and inviting we are, and we proclaim the word, but we do not always believe in its power. And we ourselves are not free of these clogged ears and our closed hearts, and we may not be totally ready to heed that full living word in its most radical call to freedom, a call that compels us to turn away from the accommodation to all the worldly ways that lure and enwrap us. In these times when it seems as though the entire modern world is programmed to just be prosperous and that's the goal of life, we today are here praying that our eyes and ears might be opened in the hearing of this story, that with those